This is WBUR. Good morning, I'm Bob Oakes. As it spread around the world in the waning days of World War I, the 1918 flu pandemic killed millions. Even the low estimates, about 17 million killed, would mean it killed millions more than the war itself. It's been getting more attention lately amid the spread of the coronavirus, and while there are parallels to today, there's also good reason to believe the coronavirus won't cause the same kind of devastation. WBUR's Jack Lepiarz has this report this morning on how the 1918 flu affected Boston and some of the measures the city and the state took to fight it.
It was late September 1918 when a doctor at then Camp Devens in Ayr, Massachusetts, summed up the new disease that was killing thousands.
2 hours after admission, they have the mahogany spots over the cheekbones, and a few hours later, you can begin to see the cyanosis extending from their ears and spreading all over the face. It is only a matter of a few hours then until death comes, and it is simply a struggle for air until they suffocate. It is horrible.
Devens was not the first place to see an influenza outbreak that year, but it was one of the hardest hit. It's estimated about a third of people at the camp came down with the flu, a little more than 15,000. Of those, more than 800 died.
That happening really overwhelmed the hospital here.
That's Kara Fossey, the executive director of the Fort Devens Museum.
They pulled nurses in from other places. There were some nurses and doctors that died here as well. They had to use barracks for makeshift morgues in order to even, you know, deal with all of the people.
What was happening in Devens, where the Surgeon General of the Army observed bodies stacked about the morgue like cordwood, was a snapshot of what was happening at the same time in Boston. There, the virus appears to have started amongst sailors at Commonwealth Pier in late August, and it spread quickly. On September 6, 1918, the Boston Daily Globe reported there were 300 cases of the flu at Commonwealth Pier. 4 days later, that number had risen to 1,100, prompting this warning.
Boston health authorities, who are combating the grip, ask the cooperation of girls who have sailor friends, requesting them to refrain from kissing.
On the 23rd, the Globe noted that all hospitals were, quote, taxed to their limits. And 2 days later, Boston public schools were shut down and the Emergency Health Committee banned all public gatherings. In the days that followed, the city's health commissioner ordered all places of amusement closed. The sheriff quarantined the Charles Street Jail. And the governor made a desperate call for more healthcare workers.
I most strongly urge that the public authorities release nurses engaged in work not at this time pressing, and that householders dispense with all non-emergency service so that additional nurses may be available for the more serious cases of influenza. It is earnestly requested that everyone who has had medical or nursing experience or who can assist in any way communicate with the Commissioner of Health at the State House.
The worst of the 1918 epidemic lasted for about 4 weeks. In that time, there were multiple days with more than 150 dead from flu or pneumonia, and it wasn't until the number of deaths in Boston dipped below 100 for a second time in 3 days that the mayor allowed bars and theaters to reopen. It's important to stress right now that with the exception of a few countries, the coronavirus outbreak has not created the same sorts of conditions the flu pandemic did in Boston. But Alex Navarro, the assistant director of the University of Michigan Center for the History of Medicine, says there is a reason to look back at 1918.
It was a global pandemic. It was one of incredibly high death toll and caseload, and also one in the quote-unquote modern era.
Navarro, whose research looked at the outbreak in dozens of American cities, including Boston, says the most effective tools governments were able to use were those that isolated the sick and prevented infection, like Boston's ban on public gatherings.
Timing is really key. Our study found, again, an association between cities that acted early, that kept many different non-pharmaceutical interventions and social distancing measures in place, and that kept them in place for a long time, fared better.
In other words, telling people to stay home or avoid people who are sick works. But he acknowledges that's not always possible, especially for public leaders who face a skeptical public that might want restrictions to end too early. Indeed, Navarro says that was the case in some cities that saw a second wave of influenza after lifting bans too quickly.
So as a historian, I can tell you that the data suggests that they work. But as a public health official, having to make these decisions, they're in a really difficult spot.
It's estimated the 1918 flu killed about 2.5% of those infected. and we still don't know how deadly coronavirus really is. Germany's reported just 2 deaths out of more than 1,000 cases. South Korea's case fatality rate is about 0.7%. But in Italy, the death rate has been closer to 6%.
We don't want to be alarmist, and we don't want to say the sky is falling. But if you look at the data we have so far, we have a disease that has about the same transmissibility rate as influenza and has a case fatality ratio that is probably on par with what the 1918 epidemic was.
For 90.9 WBUR, I'm Jack Lepiarz.